Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. In our last episode, we went down to the swamp. We got ourselves a cool blue shirt that made us even stronger. It made Dennis a little bit stronger. And
let's go.
That's all he needed. We decided in the last episode that we're going to head into the woods. So let's head up that way. One thing I did want to bring up too, another thing that I came across is Shadow Link. Have any of you guys run into a Shadow Link?
No.
Now, this is what happens for Street Pass, but I think there's one in there that's just like a, because I don't believe I have any Street Pass people on mine. Maybe I had a save file that came across one at some point over the years, but.
I think there is one built-in one.
Yes.
And then from there on out, it's Street Pass required. So
it was fun, but also just like, I'm not going to actually do this because they have basically an achievement system built into the battles. There's 50 different achievements to get where it's all just like, finish the enemy only using your sword, or finish the enemy with a spin move, finish the enemy using a hook shot, finish like, or only press these buttons. Don't press this. Like there's all these different things. Don't get hit. I don't know if the medals get you anything. We don't have any vehicles to get gold pieces of like we did in the DS games. So I'm not quite sure what we'd be getting there.
I don't even know.
I'm going to look into that. I'm going to look into that later. But wanted to bring that up, that Dennis, I found him in front of the church. So if you cared to do that, I think that's where he is.
Okay. Because, I mean, the rupees, I guess, are nice.
Aren't they? I said, we got to find something to spend these rupees on.
Yeah. I mean, there is something in the Skull Woods you can spend your rupees on. I don't know if you guys spent your rupees on that.
It's please elaborate.
It's 888 rupees. And you
Chump
buy
change.
It. And, and you get yourself a golden bee.
Yeah.
Which you can sell to the guy and get a golden bee medallion. So, or if you already have the golden bee medallion, like me, you can get a solid 300 rupees from that. And surprisingly, in this episode, after that, I found like three more golden bees. So I have a lot of money right now.
If you've got the bee medal and you find a golden bee, does it still turns into like your attack bee?
Yeah.
Does it do any like additional stuff than the other bees?
Probably.
I imagine it's probably going to be stronger.
I bet it's probably going to be stronger, and it probably, when it attacks, it probably makes them drop a rupee or something.
Let's look up them bee stats. Let's see.
I can't tell you how much I don't want to know that.
I thought I had Dennis. Now, this is something I was thinking about a little while back. But with the bee medallion, in your situation, you're going up against tougher enemies.
Yeah.
Have you thought about having a bee with you? That if you get into a room where you're like, hey, I keep getting wrecked by these enemies in here. What if I just have a fighting partner with me in this
drop some bee in it?
Yeah.
Might be kind of nice. I should try that. The only thing that I think would be better than that at this point might be the purple potion, which
is the one that
everything
damages
in the room,
everything.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, both could be worth it.
See, I thought about stocking up on the purple potions because as part of my go and do some exploring homework, I explored and found the treacherous tower.
Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about that for a minute.
Because I wasn't going. It's a little bit north. It's a little bit north. I was trying to find out
in the mountain.
I don't know. In the mountain. It's snowy.
It's where the Tower of Hera is. So just on the other side.
There we go.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for a way, into the graveyard area behind the behind the castle, and I because I thought, oh, how do I get in there? And then before I found out that you need to go through the chapel, and I thought, oh, maybe I need to go to the mountains and then come and then drop down into it, you know, because that's it. And then I found a little weather vane, saved it, and thought, oh, I'll go and check that out. And I found the treacherous tower, which is like the cruel labyrinth of this game, which I don't remember. I mean, obviously, I don't remember anything.
Right, that's the joke.
I totally forgot that this was a thing in the game, and I thought, I quickly did the first beginner floor, which is just like five floors of easy enemies, and then like the boss of the first dungeon or something, the big caterpillar dude. And then I tried the intermediate because I wanted to get the heart piece, because he told me he was going to give me a heart piece if I did that. So I thought, well, I'll do that then. And that was really straightforward. That was only like 10 floors or 12 floors, maybe, I think.
15.
Okay, there we go. It was very, very straightforward. And then he was like, oh, so we now have got a harder one and it's 50 floors. And I was like, flipping flip. That's a lot of floors. That's a lot of floors. And if they're getting harder and harder, and then I was like, I might need to get some like purple potions, because I was using the fire rod a lot just to be like, just clear out the room, because you're always on like a platform. There's always holes surrounding you. The fire rod, if it doesn't do enough damage to kill them, it usually pushes them back into the void anyway.
Also worth noting that the other items that you can get on there, if you do like the other two levels, are a nicer lantern and a nicer net.
Yeah, I found that out and decided I'm not going to do that.
The funny thing is, too, is that in order to get the nicer net, you have to do the 50 level one twice.
Yeah.
You said funny. I have
a
for that. It's hilarious.
I'm laughing.
But you do, apparently, you do get around about 5,000 rupees for beating it as well.
Yeah.
So
it's a good amount of rupees.
But what are you spending them on?
That's my issue. Like, I feel like we need to see something, that we're at a point that now, I always talk about economy. Economy is like really an important aspect to me in these games, because it's an item that we're constantly collecting.
Yeah.
And inevitably in all the Zelda games, at some point they don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've hit that, and we still have three other dungeons to complete. Yeah. So that's unfortunate if we can already do that, where at first I was like praising this game for its economy because of the things to buy, but now I'm like, I got everything though, and I have not spent extra time trying to find rupee. Well, no, that's a lie, because I had cheated on the rupee rush game. So
yeah, you had.
I guess
swine.
I did adjust it a little bit.
But then
there,
it's also, again, it's a satire, isn't it? About capitalism. It's like, you get the money, you buy all the things, and then what do you do when you've got all the things? You just sit back and hoard more money until you're just sat there with more money than you know what to do with, and you just go around killing everyone.
Or just buy things on Amazon that you don't need.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like...
Sorry.
Who knows? It's...
Doing some more exploring in here, we do find up in the north area, the northwest area, there's a, where the miner's house was, it's just like this destroyed house with a heart piece sitting up there. And there are some of the, I don't know, I don't want to just call them cuckoos, because they're like dark cuckoos. And I was literally trying to look up to see if they had a different name, like bucos or something like that. Ducos.
Bucos.
But I don't see them having a different name. They just happen to be like black and purple in the dark world there.
Yeah.
which is cool. That's a cool chicken you got there.
Just an emo chicken, isn't it?
Emo chicken. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also spent way too much time not realizing that there are two different jump off points where this thing is.
There's a second one.
There's one on the right side of the house that you really don't want to do because it doesn't take you anywhere. But if you keep going up the hill,
you can jump down.
There is one above the house, north of the house, that just gets you right there, and it's easy. And I wasted so much time trying to go around the house on the east of it, if that makes sense.
I gave up on that one because I couldn't figure that out. So
go
I'm
back
gonna go do
and
that.
Keep going.
I'm yes. gonna go do that now.
I'm so glad I wasn't the only one. I was just like, I looked up online because I was just like, how are you supposed to do this? And it said like, will you jump off the point that's closest to it? And I was like, okay, I hate myself. Yeah. I hate myself right now.
Yeah, I jumped off the side one first, and then I realized how much height you actually get jumping off those things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I can just do it from that top one.
Just like that. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. I don't remember what... I don't know where that was. I wouldn't be able to go back and find where that was now. So, you know...
I thought you were going to say we all have strengths and weaknesses. I don't remember which one mine is, though.
I forget.
I mentioned in the last episode, in order for us to get to this new area, the way you have to do is you go into Kakariko, and one of the houses on the northmost side of it has one of the little slits that teleports you into the dark world. So you have to go to the light world, Kakariko, in through there in order to make it in.
I didn't do now, it like that.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe this was
because I found that warp, that, what are we calling them? Slit?
The slit. The
warp teleporter slit thingy.
I found that slit coming through it from the other side because I was in, I didn't know that was there. And then I came out a slit.
Maybe you went through the minor one? Because there is one at the miner's house.
Was
it the pillar in the woods?
Yeah, it must have
like
been.
Like you went into and the then lost
I,
woods.
And then, yes,
that's probably what
because
it
then,
is.
Because then, because I have the Titan's Mitt, I could then come down and out into Kakariko Village, and then I went. Yeah, and then I found it like that. So yeah, I found it the wrong way or the right way. Who knows?
One of the ways.
Nintendo.
One of the many ways.
Now, when we start to explore here, the truth is, in these woods, this is basically the dungeon. We have entered the dungeon. It just doesn't necessarily say that we're in there right now. But we
it
are going to pop
save point
in
at
and
least.
Out. Of does it?
Yeah.
Oh, does it? Okay. But because of that, we're going to take a break. We get back. We're going to look more in these woods and see what they have waiting for us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, we are back. We are in the woods, the Skull Woods, to be exact. Now, there's a couple different ways that you can go into here. I want to say there's like technically like four different entrances into the woods. I believe three on the south and then one on the east. But there's also, when you go into there, there's a couple entrances that have these giant skulls with these bone teeth under coming out of the ground that you could walk into. And that's when we are introduced proper. Do they say Skull Woods? I believe the whole thing is called Skull Woods. Mm-hmm. Is the underground called that as well? I believe. Which is strange. Because it's like you thought they would have a different name, but I guess even the underground is also Skull Woods. I don't know. This one, we're reintroduced to our old friend, the Wallmaster. The most terrifying, like, creature, and I believe in all of Zelda, yeah, is the Wallmaster.
Actually, no, Dead Hand, Dead Hand.
Dead Hand. That's the ocarina with the little, all the little long hands that come out of the ground and grab you.
That thing traumatized me as a child.
Yeah, those are bad.
Gloom hands were pretty spooky as well, to be fair.
True. Anything with hands is just terrifying in Zelda games.
Even From Software knows about these things, about how scary they are. They were like, we need those in Elden Ring. Let's put that in there.
No, I can't even think about them. Just seeing those little just fingernails just like peeking out from under the ground, just knowing that they're just going to just
snatch you.
Just clasp you in their clammy grip.
No, remembering. So playing this, doing this dungeon the entire time. So I had just gotten through one of the big parts in Elden Ring because I'm doing a playthrough in that right now. And I just got through one of the parts with a ton of the hands. So every time I see like the shadow, I'm expecting one of the hands from Elden Ring to just come in. And then when it doesn't, I'm like, I don't remember that design. I don't remember that. But that's because I'm thinking of Elden Ring the whole time. And I'm just like, no, don't grab me, please.
The first time I saw it in Elden Ring, I saw one hand sticking to a wall, like in the distance. Yeah. And I remember looking and being like, no. No, they don't. No. That's not just a hand, right? That wouldn't just be one giant hand, would it? And then eventually getting close to it and it jumping off and me just going, oh, I hate this game. I hate this game so much.
See, I had a similar thing where I saw one and thought, oh, God, no. Oh, good God, no. And thought, I'm just going to approach it very slowly and didn't realize that I walked over one that was buried in the ground beneath me and absolutely
screamed like a little girl
something. Nah, not that bad.
It's terrifying. It
wasn't that.
But honestly, like these guys in Link Between Worlds, they're fine. Apart from they would be fine if it weren't for the environment that they're in, which makes them you basically just don't have enough. There's so many times where you don't have the space to really deal with them properly because you're in such narrow walkways, or you're on little platforms that are just sort of going around the place, and you can't just outrun them and wait for them to fall and then go and hit them like you can in just like a big open area.
These ones, I want to say, this might be, I don't think the previous games had you use them to your advantage the way this dungeon requires it.
That is fun when you do that though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is great.
It feels good and you feel smart because you're like, wow, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah. You tricking this thing that has haunted your dreams for many years is very cool. There, what happens is that as we're going through this dungeon, it is a constant thing that the hand is going to appear. You can never fully kill it. It is going to start to show up at some point, and you'll see it floating above you. You turn the 3D on, it's cool because you can see it floating up there. But it'll come and slam down. Now, we will come across different levels where we have a graded floor above us that it'll still do the smash thing on it. And there's a room in particular. Took me a minute, and then I was like, oh, right. I do remember doing this the first time I played it, where you have to trick it to, you hang out above one of the buttons that are on there, and the hand comes down and hits it itself and opens the door for you. So that's cool. We also have a dungeon where we have to trick it, or a room where we have to trick it into killing some enemies that are up on a shelf as
it's
well.
It's great.
Very cool.
It is very cool. It's very cool. It does make up for the fact that I think it's just this one room that I had a problem with, which was with the narrow sort of walkways. It's in the dark. There's some electric squid duties. There's some other things. And then there's also a war master chasing you. And honestly, it felt but poorly designed. It felt congested because it was like, it felt unfair. I was like, how am I supposed to deal with all of these enemies at the same time?
Yeah, in the dark? Just swap out with an enemy that doesn't get electrified. I think that would actually alleviate all of that.
Yeah.
Because it just sucks.
Or have some lanterns that you could actually light in the room to at least give you a fighting chance of knowing how to run away from the wall master.
I think there's one in like
there is one.
The north.
It might be.
East corner.
Yes, there is.
Lanterns are for wimps. It's I found myself very, very close to death. I was down to like one or two hearts going through that room. It was a real pain. It's a real pain.
Also, remembering that, if you do want more visibility in a room like that, you could technically upgrade your lantern and it will it'll raise the brightness a lot.
Does it?
So I mean if you want to
do
that.
Does it actually raise the brightness?
I would hope so.
Yeah, it raises the brightness and the circle size around you. So
still not worth it.
Given what you're gonna have to do in that dungeon,
I've done it now, so you know.
Oh, so you haven't?
That's
okay.
It.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. I mentioned before there are parts of this dungeon that we do have to come outside, and there's one room in particular. So we get into this one area where we see these statues that we've never seen before, that have these eyeballs on top of them, and I sat there and I did a few things to them because I was like, "What are these things? What am I supposed to do?"
What did you do to them, Jeremy?
Well, I just
what did you do to them?
To the statues?
I hit him with
they're
my sword.
They're made of eyes; they can see you.
But they're looking up. They're not. I'm below them.
They see what you're doing.
They don't know it's me.
They know, Jeremy.
It could have been other adventurer in a blue tunic.
That's why you dressed up as a decoy outfit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd be like, no, the hero wears green. I'm in blue. It can't be him. So
it's not me. I swear.
But really,
it's the other guy.
It's just telling you that there's going to be these statues that you have to collect an eyeball for and you have to bring it back to the other statue. Like, it's just telling you that. And I was just sort of like standing there for a little bit, just being like, what are these things? What are you, game? What do you want me to do? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then I moved on and I was like, oh, you were just trying to warn me that this is what I'm going to have to deal with in the next room. But as we go through this room, this is one that has moving little platforms that move very slow. Now, fortunately, they run along a wall, so if the wall master is showing up, you can stick to the wall. It's also faster just to stick to the wall and run along it than it is to sit on the platform.
Yeah.
But we also have light coming through, and that light will tell you that when you go outside, there are different holes that say, like, okay, well, this one is here, this one is here. What we can do is we can go up above, and if you go and slash the flowers that are around there, you can create little grottos that bring light in, and with those you can then fall through there. And if you line it up right, you can land on a platform that'll let you wrap your way around to get some master ore.
Let's go,
Dennis. Did you leave and go upgrade your sword?
Yes, immediately. Absolutely.
I didn't just because I wanted to be like, how hard is this boss? Let's just see.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I remembered. So.
Is this boss hard? What was it? honestly.
I can't remember.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, he's fine.
Well, yeah. So this is also where we can get the, I believe we get the boss key here as well. But what we also have to do is find we got to collect the eyeballs and bring them back. And we haven't had to do anything like this before, but it definitely reminded me of one of the DS games where we had to carry the piece the like Triforce piece or whatever, and we walked real slow the whole time.
Oh.
We have to like slowly carry this all the way back and toss the eyeball onto the statue in order for it to lower the stairs for us to get to the big key.
Yeah. But I was fine with that. I was fine with that in this. Like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I chucked the eye onto the platforms so I didn't have to worry about holding it and getting hit by those hands.
Didn't have to worry about catching hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, this reminded me of two things, one of which being Link's Awakening and the chess pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. And then it also reminded me of having to carry the friggin' keys in Phantom Hourglass.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes. I was very dumb. Beautiful. Very dumb. Why did they what? I could spend a whole hour just being like, why did you do this for both of those games?
Yeah, yeah.
But anything else to talk about in this dungeon before we get to the boss?
I don't think so.
It did feel like a very quick dungeon. Like, it didn't feel like it took long at all. It took like 10, maybe 15 minutes. It wasn't long, so.
I think it was meant to be more stressful than it was for it to be like, you got to really think this stuff through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really feel like under assault, like when you're in here. It's, there's no, I mean, that's what you get with the big hands, isn't it? It's just, it's really oppressive. It's horrid.
But that brings us in to the battle with the Knuckle Master.
The biggest hand of them all.
We've been going up against bosses that are like throwbacks to previous bosses, but this one is on its own. This isn't a throwback necessarily to another boss. It's just more of a upgraded version of the Wall Masters that we've seen before. I had trouble on this one just because one of the moves that it does is it just keeps smashing the ground.
And it just really keeps going. Yeah.
I was just like, what do you want me to do? I was like dropping bombs to be like, if it hits a bomb, will that damage it?
Nope. Just gotta run.
It turns out there's only one thing, even like throughout, I think it basically has two phases because it does change color at some point. Mm-hmm. But really, you just have to wait for it to do the same thing, which is turn into a fist and rock it at you, and you stick to the wall to make it hit the wall, and then you can slash it.
Yeah.
You just have to survive. Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I honestly didn't have a problem with this. And I think it might have been just a bit of chance, or it might have just been the layout of the floor, because obviously some of the floor, if he hits it, it drops away and stays dropped away, which is obviously very dangerous. But the formation in which it happened in my fight meant that I still had a fairly sort of concise circuit. I could just keep running around, and he just didn't get me. He just didn't get me until, he got me a few times, obviously. He was fine. I slashed him up and went on my way.
Dennis?
This boss was so annoying. I did remember how hard it was going to be, so I did make sure to go upgrade my sword beforehand. And then I also made sure to get some potions. I got two blue potions, a fairy, and the yellow potion. Since I don't know where the other bottle is, it's somewhere. I'll find it one day. We've probably brought it up too. I can't remember.
Well, we can. And, you'll find it.
Yeah,
you'll find it
eventually. Yeah, and so I mean, it's an annoying fight. I kept popping out of the wall right before it would hit me. Because my strategy consisted of me running to a wall, getting in the wall, and then running away while it's like slamming down. And then I think I found a way to like make it pop into like the part where it hits the wall, which is where like it'll slam down one way and then you go backwards on the wall. So then the hand turns around, slams down that way. And then you do that again and again. And I think that makes it so that it punches the wall. I don't know. This boss doesn't make sense. It's either that or it's just completely RNG based. It's one of the two.
I thought it was random. Like I didn't see a pattern. You may have found something, but was it of any value? It's hard
not
to
really.
Say. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, just saying like there could have been something there, but in the end it's like we all beat the boss eventually. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's much like the rest of the dungeon. It's just a relentless assault, isn't it? You just got to just outlast it. Which, I mean, you know, having said that, like if I was taking double the damage that, you know, like you were, Dennis, then I probably would have had a lot more trouble.
Right. I was getting hit up a whole bunch and getting frustrated. I walked away with still like 5 hearts left. So it was fine.
Also, and cut this bit, I did them in the wrong order. So I did this without the blue tunic.
Okay.
Ooh.
So technically, I did do it.
Technically, you did it like I did.
Yeah. So RNG has got a lot to answer for.
Maybe. No, but I walked out of this having used both blue potions, the fairy, and the yellow potion, and walked away with half a heart. So I barely beat this boss. I'm glad I only had to do it once because it's a hard boss, but it. Mm-hmm.
But you did it. We beat it.
Yes. That's the important part. Not the pain.
We get a heart piece. We get a heart container. We also get to go back up, which we could have seen the painting up on the out in the woods earlier. You could like come across it, and I remember just thinking like there's just a little bit of a wall in the way where I'm like just climb, Link, it's right there. Just go grab it. But
you'd think they're like whopping out tornado rod at that point, you'd be able to just like
we can gain the height, like it's possible.
Oh yeah,
like just angle it like 45 degrees that way and then you'll go that way.
But we have now freeze
like that, like 45 degrees. Yeah, as you were. Mm-hmm. Just making sure I understood.
With that, we can freeze Ceres, who we haven't seen in a little while. She's very thankful and happy to be again. Okay, I have pointed out before, and this is bothering me. Some of them say 7 sages as one word. Some of them say it as 2.
Oh, I've only seen it as 1.
She says it as 2.
I thought only Goalie said it as 1.
It may be.
Because Goalie's young.
Oh, okay. You're onto something there. Okay.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense.
That's what I thought it was.
That he doesn't understand the word, and so he just says 7 sages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Triumph Forks.
Like the Triumph Forks.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right, there we go.
Wraps up this episode. It is now my turn to pick where we go, but there's only 2 dungeons left, so technically I'm picking both. But let's go to Turtle Rock. That is the southeast area. You can go into there. We're going to be able to get, now that we have our Master Ore, we can upgrade our sword to the maximum. We're also, there's going to be something else that is going to help us out waiting in Turtle Rock as well. So that's why I chose that one over the ice ruins. But for the next episode, go do some more exploring, upgrade your sword, go to Turtle Rock, complete the dungeon, save whoever is trapped in a painting in there, and then be back here and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Yeah.
I want to go play some more Like a Dragon. Gaiden, the man who erased his name.
Oh, I'm playing the new Prince of Persia game.
Mm.
It's good fun.
It's on my list. I've got a long list though right now.
I played Eterna Noctis last year, and honestly, I think it's the best Metroidvania.
I've got that one on my wish list too.
And just no one's played it. It had a bit of a ropey launch, and then like with indie game, like if an indie game has a ropey launch, it's forever, you know. But the game is like Casper from my show, he basically said, I'm playing Eterna Noctis, it's the best Metroidvania, it's better than Hollow Knight. And I said, you're an idiot. And he was right. It's unbelievable. And unfortunately, it means that even though Prince of Persia is absolute A tier, I'm like, I'd rather be playing Eterna Noctis. even though I've played through it twice. But it is really, really good. It's Prince of Persia is really, really good. But yeah, anyway.
I'm just
better than Hollow Knight.
That's a big claim. That's a big claim.
Eterna Noctis is better than better than Hollow Knight.
Check it out, Dennis. Go check it out.
Okay, I'm going to, because that is a really big claim. Yeah, so
I know. I'm fully aware of what a big claim it is.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's yeah.
I can throw this at the end of the episode. That's fine. We can use this. It's all good. Yeah.
Filler.